when the conflict is only between Adharma and Dharma, and that is the conflict which you already resolved when Arjuna entered the battlefield. You knew that the fight is between Adharma and Dharma, and the I stand for Dharma and they stand for Adharma. But when Dharma collides with Dharma, and that is the real conflict, the problem becomes unresolvable, because Dharma, to establish justice, was collided with the price that had to be paid, which would create a Dharma. While doing Dharma, if you are going to produce another Dharma, if the offspring becomes Varna Sankara, when all the dharmas of the family and the clan are to be destroyed, then how are you to reconcile? If by doing dharma you are going to produce a dharma, how are you to resolve the problem? If you don't fight, then a dharma already reigns. Therefore you must fight. But if by fighting you are going to produce a dharma, then should you fight? This is the dilemma, this is the great question. If this is the basic question, what is dharma, what is adharma? Are our notions of dharma and adharma exactly correct, accurate? This raises the question of the entire ethics. Ethics actually is the study of decision of what is right and what is wrong. And if you study the entire history of ethics, if you want to summarize the entire history of ethics, you will find that ethical philosophy has given no unanimous answer as to what is right and what is wrong. Normally in a science, you have one unanimous answer, that this is the disease and this is the answer to cure it. But in the field of what is right and what is wrong, even after so many thousands of years, people have discussed this question, what is right and what is wrong, this has not been answered unanimously. And that is why there is a big question. If you study even the modern ethics developed by Europe, it's passed through three stages of the ethical thought. There is a doctrine that the highest good is pleasure. This is one view. Highest good is pleasure. And you must pursue pleasure because that is the highest good. This is called the doctrine of egoistic hedonism. To seek one's own pleasure and to maximize this pleasure and to have the longest duration of pleasure, that is the doctrine of ethical egoistic hedonism. It's ethical, it's a doctrine of ethics. There's a difference between psychological hedonism and ethical hedonism. Psychological hedonism only says that all human beings pursue their own pleasure. This is psychological hedonism. There's a long debate in Europe. Is it a correct doctrine? But without going into this debate, the general proposition that is made is that it is a fact that every human being seeks his own pleasure. That's psychological. And then the argument is that since everybody seeks one's own pleasure, that which is desired is desirable. This is the argument. That which is desired is desirable. Therefore, one ought to desire, that is, transition from psychological hedonism to ethical hedonism. From what one normally does, what you cannot prevent, what automatically happens, it is that which should be desired then. What is desired is desirable. Of course, there is a fallacy in the argument, but this is the argument which is put forward. What is eatable? That which you can eat. Isn't it? You can't eat a cassette. It's not eatable because it's not an object of eating. That which is eaten, that which can be eaten, is eatable. So what is desirable? That which can be desired and which is desired is desirable. So this is the first answer to what is right and what is wrong. Everybody normally seeks one's own pleasure. Since it is desired, it is desirable, therefore everybody ought to seek one's own pleasure. Then, second point is that since everybody seeks to maximize one's pleasure, therefore one should maximize one's pleasure. And how to maximize it? The European ethical thinkers have even gone to the length of making a calculus. They propose that you should have a kind of a chart and make all your objects of desire into a kind of a scale. And then see from what object you will get a maximum pleasure. Because it is also accepted that the world is such that pleasure is always mixed with pain. And pain is something which you like to reject. And pleasure is what you like to embrace. Therefore, you should try to maximize by making a chart. There are so many objects of pleasure. Which one gives you the best pleasure, highest pleasure? So, while doing so, first of all, you have the quantity of pleasure. That which gives you the highest quantity of pleasure is the object of your seeking. Second is the duration of pleasure. You may have some great pleasure, quantity may be very great, but duration is short. Then in calculus, you should give less marks to it. You should have the greatest quantity of pleasure, and then you should have the longest duration. Third is the intensity of pleasure. It's not enough that your duration is long. Some pleasures are long in duration, but the intensity is not so great. So you should have intensity. So quantity, intensity and duration, all the three, maximize them. And that you can do only by making a chart. It's not easy to find out which is that pleasure which gives you the longest pleasure, the most intense pleasure, most durable pleasure. This is the first answer of ethical egoistic hedonism. It is ethical because it says you ought to. You ought to seek this pleasure, therefore it's ethical. And why is it ethical? Because you are desiring. What is desired is desirable. Therefore you should pursue this. This is a straight argument. I am only summarizing the argument given by one great thinker called Bentham. Bentham was a great philosopher of morality, ethical thinker. And this is his doctrine, which he gave in this. I am only summarizing. But this is the upshot of his whole argument. Now he had a pupil called Mill. And he was not satisfied with Bentham's doctrine. So he went one step forward. He granted that everybody seeks pleasure, everybody seeks maximum amount of pleasure, greatest intensity of pleasure, longest duration of pleasure. But he argues that even your own pleasure is not so great when your pleasure is shared by others. Your own pleasure is one thing, but it has to be shared by others. And when it's shared by others, your own pleasure increases. There are certain pleasures which are enjoyed by you alone, but that is not all. There are certain pleasures which are enjoyed better when they are shared with others, and their enjoyment increases your enjoyment. So in your calculus, there should be another column. Your own pleasure should be maximized in context of the greatest pleasure of others.